So praise God, dear brothers and sisters. So today, on the second day of our Victorious Life webinar, this is what we are going to be doing. Okay? Yesterday, we learned how to walk in authority by using the name of Jesus, commanding every obstacle, every mountain that stands in our path to move in Jesus' name, and it will move. Okay? So now, today, we're going to be learning how we can speak our way to victory in Christ Jesus. Okay, so that's the session today. Tomorrow, where our teaching is called Renew Your Mind, which is the key to walking in authority and also to speaking your way to victory. So the two keys to walk in victory. What are the two keys to walking in victory? The first key is to pray continually in tongues. And the second key to walking in victory is walking in the authority that Jesus has entrusted to us. Okay? For this, both these gifts, brothers and sisters, involve the right use of the tongue. The correct use of the tongue is absolutely necessary for us to walk continually in victory. Okay, so this is our victorious life, which is our calling. Christ died for us. He paid the price for our sin. He defeated all our enemies. He defeated Satan. He defeated death and the grave. He defeated sickness and disease. He defeated untimely death. He took it all upon himself so that you and I can have a victorious life. And as we, take these teachings to our heart, allow these teachings to become a part of us, to become flesh in us. Unless the word becomes flesh in us, the word will not work for us. That's why it's very, very important that you listen to these talks, listen to them over and over again, because you really need to get it. Okay? Because only when you really get it, it comes alive in you, it will start working 100% in your life. Okay, so this teaching is called Speak Your Way to Victory in Christ. And as is obvious with the name of this teaching, our victory in Christ is determined by what we speak. Okay, so you and I can be assured of victory if we speak right. Therefore, who is in control of our victory? Who's in control of our victory, brothers and sisters? Don't throw up your hands and say, oh, everything is in God's hands. God is in control. Yes, he's in control. But on the earth, he has relinquished. He has given it to us. So who's in control of your victory? You are. Who's in control of your personal, triumph in Christ Jesus? You are. Because if you don't cooperate with the Holy Spirit, you will never experience that victory that Jesus has purchased for you and for me. Okay? So we are in control of our victory. Our life has been given to us. God has given us responsibility to run this race. So we are called to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the more we yield to the Holy Spirit, the more we can ensure that we will be walking continually in victory in Christ Jesus. Okay, so where are you going, brothers and sisters? It's good for us to stop every now and then and ask ourselves where we are going. Because this is the life of Jesus. Okay, Jesus came from the Father. He did the Father's will perfectly, and he knew he was going back to the Father. Okay? So this was Jesus's purpose. He was so clear. He was not confused about what God wanted for him. And he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So Jesus was totally aware that he was born to die, and his death was for us. He didn't die because he had to die. He died because we needed him to die on our behalf. Okay? So what about us? Do we have the same kind of clarity about God's plan and purpose for our life? Can we stand up and say, yes, I know I'm in the perfect will of God. Everything that's happening in my life is according to the perfect will of God. If we have such clarity, I'm sure we would know it. But very often we know we're not in the perfect will of God. We're not in the perfect plan of God. And we want to walk in that will. We want to walk just like Jesus. And that's our calling. That's God's desire for us. So how are we going to get there? How are we going to get into God's plan? How are we going to fulfill God's purpose? And what is going to take us to our divine destiny? Every person who has been created on earth has been created by God with a divine plan, purpose, and destiny for us. But not everyone fulfills it. Not everyone fulfills it. So, brothers and sisters, it's very, very important for us to yield to the Holy Spirit, to study the Word of God so that we can actually fulfill our destiny and God's purpose for our lives. Okay. St. James tells us in James chapter 3, verse 4, he says, look at the ships. Okay. And St. James was so impressed by the ships during his time, which were probably, you know, just large sailboats. Okay. Imagine if he had seen our warships of our present days. But what does St. James say? Okay. James chapter 3 verse 4 tells us, look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds. Okay. They were only driven by winds. Okay. They had no motor power. But this is true even for our present day ships. They are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot or the captain directs. Okay. So however large the ship, it doesn't matter, because ultimately what determines the course that the ship takes is actually the rudder of the ship, which is such a tiny part of the ship. Of course, the pilot is the one steering the wheel, but it's the rudder which moves the ship in the direction that the pilot intends for the ship to go. So, our tongue is that rudder. Our tongue is the rudder. So what we speak is what we get. What we are saying determines where we are going. So if we are continually speaking according to God's word, according to God's will, then we will fulfill our divine destiny. But if we are speaking negativity, listening to all the negative reports around us and then repeating only those kind of negative things, then we will never be able to fulfill our divine destiny and our heavenly calling. So it's very, very important for us to watch what we are saying, because our tongue is that rudder. Okay? Yes. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 tells us. What does it tell us? It says, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and everything that creeps and crawls and flies. So who's saying this? Here's the Holy Trinity in a meeting. They're saying they're going to make man. So the Father, Son, and the Spirit get together and they say, let us make man. How? In our image, after our likeness, and let them be like us. The purpose for God for us is that we be like God here on earth, after his image, after his likeness, just like him. And what are we called to do? Let them have dominion. Do you know what dominion means? Dominion means kingship. Dominion means authority. So God has given us dominion, authority, power to rule, to reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and all the creatures that creep and crawl here on earth. Just as God is king of the universe, he's king of heaven and earth, you and I, brothers and sisters, have been given the responsibility to rule on the earth. To rule on the earth. Okay? This is a very serious thing. So often you say, oh, everything is in God's hands. Whatever God wants is happening. And you know, we are actually denying the power of God, going against the will of God and against the word of God, which tells us dominion has been given to us. But we are saying, oh God, everything is in your hands. So we are like, you know, living in denial and like telling God, Lord, oh no, I don't want to be in control. You take. But God has given the earth into our hands. He wants us to rule on the earth. So who's going to defeat coronavirus? We say, oh God, you only have to do it. Jesus, you only have to do it. Jesus is not going to do it. He has done what he had to do. Now it is for us to take responsibility of the earth that God has entrusted to us. So who has to defeat coronavirus? Who has to put an end to this pandemic? You and I. You and I, by praying correctly, by speaking correctly, we have to take responsibility to bring everything back to normal. That's our responsibility. Yes, the Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit is within us. The Holy Spirit guides us. But it's our job. We have to do it. That is why we have been given dominion. And how are we called to rule and reign here on earth, brothers and sisters? It is by speaking right, by speaking correctly. Speech is a powerful gift of God, which God has given only to human beings. Only men and women can speak. Parrots can only mimic. But they cannot speak independently. So only you and I can speak. And the reason we've been given this ability to speak is so that we use our mouth, our speech, to rule and reign here on earth. Okay? See what Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 4 tells us. Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon, King Solomon, in his old age. After he made many mistakes, after he did a lot of wrong things, in spite of being the wisest man in his time, still Solomon fell because he disobeyed God. He disobeyed God. He went against the will of God. And in his old age, he was able to look back at his life and say, yes, there are a lot of things that I did wrong. And everything under the sun, vanity of vanities, all is vanity under the sun. And we've been just chasing after shadows. But one thing, as a king, Solomon realized, what did he realize? In chapter 8, verse 4, he says, since a king's word is supreme, that is backed by great power, who can say to him, what are you doing? So what is King Solomon saying here? He's saying a king's word is supreme. It has great power. What the king says is law. No one can question the king and say, what are you doing? When King Nebuchadnezzar passed a decree saying nobody will worship any other god. Everyone will worship only this statue. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow to that idol. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace. In the same way, Daniel too. They said nobody should worship any other god. They should only worship the king. Daniel defied the king's orders. What the king said was law. Everybody had to obey. You don't obey, you're thrown into the den of lions. That's how kingship works. That's how earthly kingship works. We know, we've been through history lessons. We've all been ruled. Our countries have all been ruled by some kings and some queens. And we were under the British Empire until our country became a free nation. So whatever the king decides is law, is the rule, is backed by his authority. So you can't question a king. And that is the kind of authority, brothers and sisters, you and I have, because you and I have this kind of word of authority. When we speak, we decree, we declare, we proclaim what we want to see. Because our word is law. Our word is law. What we are saying is what is happening on the earth. See what Revelation chapter 5 verse 10 says. So I quoted from Genesis, then I quoted from Ecclesiastes, which is somewhere in the middle. Genesis is the first book, Ecclesiastes is somewhere in the middle of the Bible, and Revelation, I think everybody knows, it's the last book of the Bible. Throughout, from the beginning to the end, the theme of dominion, the theme of authority that God has entrusted to us is very, very clear. You let them become kings and serve God as priests, and they will rule on the earth. Who is this? Who is this scripture about? You let whom? Who's that you? You is God. God let them. Who are these? Them. Them is you and me. And what did he allow us to do? He allowed us to become kings and priests. And serve him as kings and priests, and to rule on the earth. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 tells us, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Same words. Royal is kingship, priesthood. As baptized Christians, every one of us shares in the priestly ministry of Jesus to offer worship to God and to rule as kings here on earth. That's why we have to take our role as kings and queens here on earth very seriously. Because authority has been given to us. And tomorrow God will call us to account, saying, how did we rule? How did we reign here on earth? In our circle of influence, in the world that we lived in the time that we lived in the country, in the city that we lived in. Did we exercise authority in the name of Jesus and establish the reign of God? We pray for the kingdom of God to come. We're not here to establish our kingdom. But as kings on earth, as queens on earth, we are here to establish the kingdom of our God. We are here to establish the will of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Through whom? Through you and me. So that is why God has given us authority. God has given us his own power. And he's told us to rule and reign on the earth. He is the king. Jesus is the king of kings. Who are the little kings? All of us. He is Lord. He's above all. Who are the lords? That's you and me. Every person who believes in Christ Jesus is a lord. We have our own, you know, a kind of like jurisdiction where we are called to be in charge. We are called to take the reins. We are called to rule. We are called to reign in Jesus' name. That is why we've been given authority, brothers and sisters. You and I have our own domain where we are called to exercise dominion. That is our kingdom where we establish the kingdom of God. That is the circle of influence, and you and I are going to be held accountable for this domain, this kingdom that God has entrusted to us. Okay? Yesterday's teaching taught us about how we can command in the name of Jesus and remove the blocks. So again, what are we doing? We are speaking. We are speaking to the mountain. We are speaking to the sickness. We are speaking to the problem and commanding it to move in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, it has no choice but to obey. It will obey. As we pray in tongues, we can build ourselves up in authority. So the sooner, the more you pray in tongues, the more you will be able to walk in authority. And then as soon as you command, obstacles will be removed. Hindrances will just disappear. As you pray in tongues, as you keep commanding, as you keep on commanding, Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it till you see victory. Don't give up. Don't back off. Be aggressive when it comes to taking what is rightfully yours in Christ Jesus, which the enemy is trying to steal from you. So that's what we are called to do when we are commanding in the name of Jesus. But now, after commanding in the name of Jesus, the next step for us is to speak our way to victory. We start speaking what we want to see. This is not about, you know, just talking about everything that's happening around us. Oh, the world is like this. Oh, the world is like this. Going from bad to worse. You know how negative sometimes people are? The way they speak, it is scary. And they pray the same way. When they pray also, they'll be praying like that. Lord, you know how horribly, you know how horrible things are. Things are going from bad to worse. This pandemic is making everybody hopeless. And there is so much of fear. You don't have to tell God all that. God knows. He knows better than us. What are we called to do with our mouth? We are called to speak what we want to see. We're not called to be news reporters. We have enough on NDTV, CNN and all BBC and all these channels. They're doing all the negative speech. What are we called to do? We are called to be good news reporters. We are called to speak life. We are called to speak the victory of Christ into this situation. We are called to speak an end to this pandemic by speaking it. By speaking it. It is through our mouths that this pandemic is going to end. So the more you believe it and start speaking it, we are paving the way for the world to enter into a new era, free of this virus. No more fear, no more anxiety will be, you know, keeping people in bondage. And that depends on our speech. We are called to rule and reign through our speech, just like God does. Just like God does, okay? So, know the power of words, brothers and sisters. We need to know how powerful our words are. There was this experiment done where there were two plants identical in every way, and they were grown in identical conditions, given whatever was required for a plant to grow, be healthy and survive and do well. Okay, but one plant, the healthy looking plant in this picture, was showered with blessings and compliments. And good things were said to the healthy plant, saying, you're so beautiful, your leaves are so green, you're so healthy, you're so lovely. But the other plant was continually criticized and cursed and despised in every way. Very soon, you could see the effects of the words on the plants. The plant which was showered with good words and blessings began to grow and be so healthy and thrive. But the plant that was cursed and continually condemned began to droop and shrivel up and wither away. And within a short time, died. It died. That is the power of words, brothers and sisters. Our words can influence anything. These are just potted plants. They could hear, they could understand how much more situations and circumstances around us. We don't realize that we can change the atmosphere, the very world we are living in, by using our words correctly. And it is our responsibility to use our words, which have so much of power, to make a difference in this world. Proverbs 18 verses 20 and 21 tells us this, exactly this. From the fruit of his mouth, a man is satisfied. How is a person satisfied? We often think, oh, what we eat is what is satisfying us. But this word of God, which is forever true, and abides forever. What is the word of God saying? What is coming out of your mouth is what is really satisfying you. The fruit of the mouth is words. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips, not by what he puts into his mouth. We think what we eat, what we drink is satisfying us, but the word of God is telling us the real truth, saying what we are speaking is what is satisfying us, is what is bringing us contentment or otherwise. Okay? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. That's why St. James chapter 3 verse 4 says, our tongue is the rudder. Our tongue is the rudder. Because death and life are in the power of our tongue. So if we are speaking death, we will only experience death. Now people have already started talking, oh, second wave is almost getting over. Third wave is coming. That is death. That is death. And they're speaking death. We need to cancel it in Jesus' name. What are we doing? Just listening to it and getting frightened? Are we just listening to it and saying, oh, we shudder. What is going to happen? Where is this world going? The world is going where we are speaking. Cancel those words of death. If you hear, if you read any negative report, any negative, you're listening to the news. Don't listen too much to the news, because this is all you're hearing, and you're not strong enough in your faith, and you don't know how powerful your words can be, then you'll just be sitting quietly and listening and nodding your head and talking to others and saying, oh, I heard this, and all bad news. So listen less to bad news. Read the good news. Take your Bible. Speak out what is written in the Word of God. That is life. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what we choose to speak is what we eat. And those who love it will eat its fruit. The fruit of death is death. The fruit of life is more life. So you speak words of death, you will experience death soon. Very, very soon you will experience death coming to you. Through sickness, through disease, through mental illness, all kinds of weird things will be happening. And you'll be wondering, oh, why am I suffering like this? Why am I suffering? Check what you're speaking. But you speak life. You speak health into your body, health into the world, into the environment, into the atmosphere. Life will be restored. Life will be restored. The world will be transformed once again. There is this example of a cancer patient, okay? There was this man, his name was John Brown. He was experiencing all kinds of horrible symptoms in his body. He was very sick. So he went to the hospital to get a checkup, to do a checkup. And on the same day, another person called John Brown also came to the same hospital to do his annual health checkup. He was hale and hearty. But unfortunately for this healthy John Brown, their reports got mixed up. And what happened? At the end of the day, the healthy John Brown got a report saying that he has cancer and he has only 3 months to live. And what happened? John Brown believed that report. And he went around telling everyone, oh, this is horrible. I got a bad report from the doctors. I'm not feeling anything in my body, but the doctors are saying there is cancer in me, it's eating me up, and I've got only 3 months to live. He did not even live for 2 months. And this is a real story, brothers and sisters. But what happened? What happened to the John Brown who got a report, who actually had cancer in his body, but who got that report of the healthy John Brown? He too believed it. And he went around telling everyone, I'm feeling terrible inside, but the report says I'm healthy, therefore I must be healthy. And he just kept telling everyone, no, I'm okay. Yeah, the report says I'm healthy. And what happened? Then cancer died in his body and he lived. And he's hale and hearty. That is the power of the words we speak. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, of your tongue, of my tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruits. You love to speak death, you will end up eating death. You love to speak life. You will experience life. You will enjoy life. And all around you will also live. They'll thrive because of you. How do you respond? In simple situations, brothers and sisters, then you will know whether you're speaking life or death. What do you say when someone asks you, how are you? Some people are so negative, even if, you know, when they answer a simple question like, how are you? I know this person, you know, she's so amazing. She's 93 years old. She lives in a home now. And I know her for more than 30 years now. And whenever I have met her, whenever I've asked her, auntie, how are you? Never have I heard her speak a negative word. She would say, I'm fine. Nothing to complain about. Isn't that amazing? At the age of 93, when I ask her the question, she says the same thing. Nothing to complain about. Not that her life has nothing to complain about. She chooses not to complain, not to dwell on the negative things. On the other hand, there are so many people, I don't even like to ask them, how are you? Because they're so full of negative words. I don't want to know how they are. Even a simple question like that, so much negativity comes out. Anxiety, confusion, criticism, these are probably what most people are speaking. And then you wonder why you're so stressed. Oh, I feel so, my chest is hurting, my head is aching. Because you're speaking anxious words. And your words are confusing. Like, you know, sometimes you think, you know, you try to believe in God and try to speak words of faith and say, no, I know God is in control. God is good. God is merciful. But then when you hear negative things, you'll start repeating what they say. Oh, but they're saying, you know, third wave is coming. Oh, that is stressing me out. I don't know what will happen to my job. I don't know what will happen to my children. Confusion. Confusion. One side scripture, claiming God's promise. Another side speaking whatever the newspapers say. Speaking what the news reporters say. And so often we are filled with words of criticism. How easy it is to criticize our government authorities, and say, oh, my country is going to the dogs, and you expect it to do well? Oh, these politicians are so corrupt. They are like this, they are like that. No use speaking like that. You're making them worse. Speak what you want to see. Speak what you want to see. God has blessed our country with good leaders. They are responsible. They are caring. They see, they look for the welfare of our country. You know, but I was praying one day, you know, the Lord, the Holy Spirit just impressed upon me. Start saying, India is going to be saved. India is going to become a Christian country. I immediately asked the Lord. I said, Lord, really? The Lord said, it depends on you. It depends on you, because we are always praying for the salvation of our country. We are praying that all get to hear the gospel and all believe and are saved. But we are not speaking accordingly. So the Holy Spirit threw the ball back in my court and said, what you speak is what you get. You start speaking it. India is going to be saved. India is receiving the gospel. Don't worry about what is happening in the world. What is happening in our country. You start speaking. You start speaking. You stand on it. Don't contradict by speaking negative words. And you will see what you are saying is coming to pass. Praise God. Your body is listening. Your environment is listening. Your country is listening. They say even walls have ears. Haven't you heard that? Everything can hear. Everything can sense. If you're a negative person, there is a pall of gloom. There's a pall of, you know, sadness, depression around you. They're called vibes. Many people call them vibes. They get negative vibes from you because that's what you are filled with. Your body is full of that. Your mind is filled with that. And that's why there's so much sickness. There's so much sickness and disease in your own body and in your mind and even in people around you. It's up to us, brothers and sisters. Do we say these things? I don't know what to do. If you keep speaking confusion, you're going to live in confusion. Maybe you don't know what to do, but you say, confess, the Lord is my wisdom. Jesus guides me. And so I know at all times, because he guides me, I know what to do in every situation. How often we I hear people say, God doesn't speak to me. That's a lie. God always speaks to us. God, even before we ask a question, he gives us the answer. Our head is cluttered with so much of junk. So many voices of people in the world, our worldliness, of our own confused thoughts. We can't hear him. Maybe you should rephrase and say, I can't hear God speak to me. That would be more, you know, more closer to the truth. Because God always speaks. How often we say, I'm scared, I'm worried, I don't know what's going to happen. My future, my children's future, their studies. My child is not studying well. Oh, I don't know what he will become when he grows old, when he grows up. You don't have to worry. You just have to speak right. Your children will become what God wants them to be. That depends on you. What about your marriage? Is that what you're speaking about your marriage? Oh, I don't know where we're going in this marriage. We are poles apart. We are like parallel tracks of the railway or the train. He goes his way, I go my way. But that is, if we speak it, that is what we will experience, brothers and sisters. You want to change what is happening in your life, change what you are speaking. Change what you are speaking and you will see the change in your life. See what Jesus had to say about words. Jesus said, don't worry. Yes, in Matthew 6, verse 31, he said, therefore do not be anxious saying, okay, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? There are two things here. Do not be anxious and do not say what you are thinking from your anxious mind. Sometimes an anxious thought can come, but when you speak it out, you are giving life to it. You are giving life to it. It's easier to control it when it's still in your mind. Once you have spoken, it's out and you have spoken death. You have spoken out death. And that those anxious words will bear fruit. Will bear fruit unless you deliberately cancel it. Unless you deliberately cancel this. Anxious words, confusing words, they're very, very damaging. They're damaging to your life, to your body, to your future. What else? Don't miss the connection. Jesus gives us a very important connection. Matthew 12, verse 34. It's easy to remember. 1, 2, 3, 4. Matthew 12, 34. Jesus says, for out of the abundance or the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay, so Jesus is giving us a very, very important connection, which we have not spoken about so long. I've only been emphasizing words, words, words. Death and life, the power of the tongue, our tongue is the rudder. But Jesus is telling us where our words are coming from. So where are your words coming from, brothers and sisters? You know what's where it's coming from? It's coming out of your heart. And what is coming out? Your heart is so filled with words and it overflows as speech. For out of the abundance or the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what is your heart overflowing with? So if, you know, it's very easy to check what's happening in your heart. How do you check it? Check your words. Check your words. If you're speaking death, then death is overflowing from your heart out of your mouth. If you're speaking life, then life is overflowing from your heart out of your mouth. If you're speaking anxiety, anxiety is overflowing from your heart. If you're speaking confusion, that's what's overflowing. If you're speaking fear and doubt and, sadness, grief, if you're speaking that, check it, because that's what is in your heart. That's what your heart is overflowing with. It's coming out of your mouth. Because the heart is the seat of all beliefs and convictions. Whatever we believe, whatever we are speaking, is coming out of our heart, where everything is rooted. It is the seat of all our beliefs and all our convictions. Beliefs are what we stand for. Our convictions are what we are convinced about. So even if people say things, even if we sit whole day and listen to preaching, if we don't work on the beliefs and the convictions of our heart, we will not be able to change what we speak and what we see happening in our lives. Okay? So Jesus gave us another very, very important clue. Who will judge us on Judgment Day? Matthew 12, 36. Two verses later, he says, I tell you on the day of judgment, men and women will render account for every careless and idle word they utter. How much we speak, brothers and sisters. And sisters, here's a loving warning to you. Women, we speak 14,000 words a day. Men, on an average, speak about 7,000 words a day. We are doing double. I hope we don't end up getting, you know, double for all that we speak. Because for every careless and idle word we utter, we will have to render account, because by our words we'll be justified and by our words we'll be condemned. So God is not going to judge us. Our own words are going to judge us. So what are our words coming out from? Our heart. Our hearts. So let's be very careful about what we speak, but much more careful about what is in our heart. What is in our heart? Because that is overflowing as speech. Yes. So what are we saying? What we are saying is what is in our hearts and minds. Our beliefs become our thoughts. What we believe is what we constantly, you know, meditate on, what we think about. And what is happening in our heart and mind is what is coming out of our mouth. Our beliefs and our thoughts become our words. And what we speak becomes our actions. We start doing it. We start doing it. You need to check. You need to check, you know. I don't have time to go into too many details. But if you look at this, this is true. Our actions become our habits, because repeated actions become habits. And then our habits, over a period of time, become our character. They form our very character. And then our character is who we are on the inside, determines our destiny and our purpose. So brothers and sisters, if you are concerned about your eternal destiny, about God's purpose for your life, go backward. Go backward and see where it all began. It begins with our beliefs and our thoughts. If we change our beliefs and our thoughts, our destiny and our purpose will be according to God's will, God's plan for our life. Therefore, the heart of the matter is that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Therefore, we need to renew what is happening inside of us. We need to change. We need to rewrite what is in our heart and mind. That is called the renewal of the mind. The renewal of the mind is what we're going to speak about tomorrow. But I'm going to start speaking about it today, because it is crucial for us to work on the renewal of our mind in order to speak our way to victory in Christ. Therefore, the renewal of the mind is the key, even to walking in authority. You will never walk in authority unless you're renewed inside. You will not be able to exercise that authority, that dominion God has given you, unless you know who you are on the inside. You need to renew your mind to the truth. How does this happen? Only through the word. By praying in tongues and taking the word, meditating on the word, confessing the word, believing that word transforms your mind, renews your mind, changes the way you think, changes your beliefs, makes it align with God's word. It overwrites, it cleans the slate. The word of God cleans the slate, overwrites all the worldliness in our minds, in our hearts, and substitutes it with the word of God. We need to do this. We need to do this by studying the word, meditating on the word, thinking the word, speaking that word, confessing that word, claiming that word. It's our job. It's our responsibility. Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the world. What does it mean to be conformed to the world? Being conformed to the world is to allow the world to mold you, to shape your beliefs, to shape your convictions, to shape your values, to become, you know, we call people worldly. Oh, they're very worldly. What does it mean? They're conformed to the world. We need to check how we are, what we are made of. Are we also worldly? Because our values are like people in the world. What they do, we do. What they believe, we believe. oh, homosexuality, lesbianism, gay rights, this, that. Oh, yeah, what to do? God, we think. God made them like that. Oh, they have their rights. Abortion, oh, yeah, maybe, you know, it's they have the right to choose. This is conforming to the world. Totally against the word of God. Totally against the will of God. What should we do? We need to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. We need to deliberately make sure we don't think like the world. We don't act like the world. We don't believe what the world believes. But we are shaped, transformed, conformed to the word of God. And that is renewal of the mind. When you stop thinking like the world and you start thinking what the word of God says. And especially in the New Testament. Because the fullness of revelation is given to us in Jesus, in the New Testament. So there's no more confusion. If we can look at Jesus and imitate him perfectly, then we can say our mind is renewed. That we may know what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. So often, brothers and sisters, most people walk in confusion because they don't know the will of God. And why do they not know the will of God? Because they're not transformed by the renewal of their mind. Then their mind is not conformed to the word of God, but it's conforming to the world. Therefore, they don't know the will of God. So when we start knowing the will of God, then we'll have a clear understanding of God's will in every situation. Many people believe Jesus died and forgave all our sins. Yes, all will believe that. All Christians believe that. Jesus forgave all our sins. But even if you ask a committed Christian, what about healing of sickness? What about the disease? Did Jesus die to heal all our diseases? What is your answer? Can you say with the same conviction, just as Jesus died to forgive all our sins, Jesus died to heal all our sickness and disease? So today, you and I don't need to be sick. We don't need to be sick. It's not the will of God for us to be sick, for us to die of sickness, dying of coronavirus, dying of cancer, disease, dying in an accident. Is not the will of God. What is the will of God? What Jesus shows us. When he saw a sick person, he healed them. When he saw somebody who was young, who died an untimely death, Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, the son of the widow of Nain. When he saw them dying young, what did he do? He raised them from the dead. He did not tell them cock and bull stories. Oh, God needed your daughter, so that's why he took her when she was 12 years old. God does not need anything. He's God. He gives everything. Imagine how many young children, when they hear these things, you know, that they lose their parents when they're so young, and people don't going to console them, say, oh, God needed your father, that's why he took him. And this child is 5 years old. This boy is 5 years old and somebody is telling them, God needs your father. Why would God need your father? Sickness took your father. The devil, through sickness, took your father. God did not take him. How much of this goes on and how much we speak it ourselves? Because we ourselves are so confused. I'm not saying that a person who died as a Christian, believing in Jesus, who died an untimely death, who died of sickness, is not in heaven. If they believe in Jesus, if they have been living for Jesus, it is likely that they are in heaven. Okay? But it was not the will of God for them to die of sickness. It was not the will of God for them to die in that accident. It was not the will of God for them to die so young. If a person dies young as a Christian, they should only die as a martyr, dying for their faith. Otherwise, all of us are called to live a long life, fulfilling the will of God. Every day we're called to live a long life in good health, in peace, in prosperity, having God meet all our needs. I'm not saying we should be like Ambani or, any of those multimillionaires and billionaires. No. But God should be supplying all our needs so that we have enough and to spare, to share with everybody who has a need. That is the will of God. That is the will of God, brothers and sisters. Not for us to be struggling with lack, with sickness, with poverty, with failure, with defeat. Why in the world would Jesus come then? If we are in bondage, we are oppressed by the devil. Depression, suppression, oppression of every kind. That's not the will of God for us. Jesus came to set the captives free. Where is that freedom? If you and I are not experiencing it, how are we going to convince non-Christians to come to Jesus? If we ourselves are struggling, morning, noon, and night, we need to look more redeemed if we need to attract people to our Redeemer. Remember that. Remember that. Therefore, we need to know how we can walk in the will of God. The key is renewal of the mind. So, first, believe right. If you believe right, you will think right and you will speak right. I know we gave so much of importance to what we are speaking, but the truth is, you need to change the way you think. And then you need to change, first and foremost, what you believe, what is in your heart. Align it with the word of God. Then you will be able to speak what is God's will. So how do you sanctify your speech? Give your tongue to the Holy Spirit. Pray continually in tongues. The more you pray in tongues, the less you will speak and the less you will sin in your speech. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24 says, may the God of peace is the Holy Spirit, himself sanctify you entirely. How does the Holy Spirit sanctify us? Inside out, spirit, soul and body. And he keeps us sound and blameless to the coming, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whose job is it to make us holy? The Holy Spirit's job. But how does the Holy Spirit work? First, give your tongue to the Holy Spirit. Start praying in tongues. I cannot show you the direct connection, but it happened. It's happening in my life. When I started praying in tongues, I found myself, able to control my tongue. I wasn't sinning so much with my speech. I became so much more gentle in my speech, more patient, so much more kind. And I saw sanctification happening. Sanctification was happening because I was praying in tongues. The Holy Spirit was taking control of my tongue. He was making me sound and blameless. And he who has called you is faithful. He will do it. The Holy Spirit will do it. What should you do? Pray in tongues. Start praying more and more in tongues. Again, James 3 verse 8 tells us, no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. This is not about your tongue. It's not about the Christian's tongue. This is not about a committed Catholic's tongue. This is about tongues of people in the world. Their tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. What about us? We surrender our tongue to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us self-control. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Holy Spirit will help us to control our tongue so we don't just speak any kinds of words, just carelessly. We become responsible for what we say. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. You gain self-control over your speech. Okay. To change the way you speak, change the way you think. Stop dwelling on negative things. Stop looking at your past, your failures, sin and weaknesses, negative experiences. Stop living there. Get up. Time to move on. Maybe some accidents happened, untimely death of loved ones. There was sickness, there's doubts, there's fear, so many negative things. Don't live there. Shake it off. Put on this new mind. Put on the new man. St. Paul says, put on the new man. Walk like Jesus walked. in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let your worries and your anxieties, what the world is talking about, anything that contradicts the word of God, don't think about it, don't speak about it. Okay, so what should you do? Watch closely what follows your I am statements. What does this mean? Don't look at a mirror and say, I'm tired, I'm old, I'm sick, I'm scared, I'm broke. Don't look at the mirror and say, oh, look at this gray hair and wrinkles. Today is my birthday. But I look at the mirror and I tell the mirror what I want to see. I tell the mirror, I'm not getting older, I'm getting younger by the day. I tell my mirror that. Okay? It's because I've changed my mirror. I confess what I want to see. I speak what I want to see. I use the mirror of the word of God and I speak accordingly. I affirm myself according to the word. I do this all the time. I always say this. I say I'm highly favored. I'm greatly blessed. I'm deeply loved. And the more I speak it, the more I'm rooted in these truths. What else do I say? I say I was created to succeed. I'm designed to win. I'm equipped to overcome. I'm anointed to prosper. I'm blessed to be a blessing, and so I am. Yes. What I speak, I get. More and more people tell me, oh, you're such a blessing. I say, yes, I know. That's because I say it. Before people told me that about me, I have been speaking it about me because the word of God says that about me. I changed my mirror. I speak according to the word. I say success is my birthright. Excellence is my calling. Winning is my lifestyle. We do not fail. I do not fail. I cannot fail. I'm born of the word. Therefore, my life is shaped and patterned after Jesus. As I study and meditate on the word, I become more and more like Jesus. That's who I am, because I pattern my life after Jesus. I keep speaking it, I get it. So how do we sanctify a speech? Apply that word. Take that word. Speak it over your life. Apply it over your life. Be a prophet of hope over your life. What do? All areas of your life. Speak blessing. I'm spiritually blessed. I'm emotionally blessed. I'm intellectually blessed. I'm physically blessed. Financially, all my relationships, at work, my ministry, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. My children, their future, they are blessed. How often we spend so much, you know, we save and we invest for our children's future. How much of words have you spoken over your child's future, brothers and sisters? Have you spoken words of life over your child's future? My children, I speak over them every night before they sleep. I speak God's blessing over them. I'll say that they're going to serve God and they're going to be greater than us. They should be, because the legacy they have received from us should enable them to be even greater than us. They're going to be a greater blessing to the world than me and my husband. That's what I speak over my children. That the whole world will know Jesus because of them. The power of God will work in them, in them and through them. That's how I'm investing. Not wrong to invest, you know, for your children's future, invest money for their education and everything. But if you don't invest life, words of life, they're not going to fulfill their divine destiny. Speak God's word over every area. Apply it over every situation of your life and of others. When you pray for them, speak it. Speak the word of God and hold fast to your confession. What does this mean? Isaiah 55 verse 11 tells us, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Okay, when God spoke, God did not take back his word, which went out of his mouth. It shall not return to him, to me, empty. When God speaks a word, the word does not come back empty without doing its job, but it shall accomplish that purpose which I purpose, and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So when you speak a word of life, when you speak a word of healing, when you speak a word of command, don't back off. Don't say, oh, this is not happening, it's not the will of God. No, God's will doesn't change like that. God's will doesn't change with situations and circumstances. If you back off, you cannot establish the will of God. Stand firm. Endure till the word does its work. Don't back off. Don't take back what you have said. The way God sent forth his word to transform the world, to create, to recreate the whole world. You and I have the same power. When we speak forth words of life, we can create, we can recreate situations, circumstances. Our very bodies can be recreated through the word we speak. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, speak your way to victory in Christ. It's your responsibility. It's you who have to do it, because you're the one who's in control of your divine destiny. You are. Yes, you are. You are the captain of your ship. You are the pilot of your aeroplane. Speak out your divine destiny. Most of all, work on the inside, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth flows. So make sure you change what is inside. You believe right. You think right. You will speak right. Steer your ship. Steer your life exactly where you want it to go. In accordance with the will of God. In accordance with the word of God. Prophesy over your life. Prophesy over your family. Over your body. And make sure. Make sure everything aligns with God's word. Look at Jesus. What Jesus did. What he showed. That is the will of God. Sickness, disease, untimely death. It's not the will of God. Therefore, speak words of life and power and experience it in your life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. And we thank you that dominion has been given to us. We repent today for all those times when we have been careless with the words we speak. And out of the abundance of our hearts, negative words have come out. Today we repent, we return to you with all our hearts. And we ask that your Holy Spirit will enable us at all times to speak in accordance with the word. Spirit of God, help us to pray continually in tongues and take control of our tongues, take control of our minds, take control of our beliefs, our hearts. Renew us, transform us, that we may live as that new creation in Christ Jesus. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.